You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to be previewing Down Royal today. We being myself, Alex Dunn, and Andy Holding, who joins me on the line. Good morning, Andy.
Alex, how's it going, bud?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good, yeah.
Good. Not a bad little midweek card, this, from Down Royal, is it?
It's not, no. Very competitive, as it often is here. Big galloping track, as we know, Down Royal. And suits a lot of Northern Ireland trainers as well. Quite a few handlers of... got good career records here, and they don't seem to do all that good elsewhere, so it's very much a horses for trainers track. The likes of Shane Crawford and Conor Bratney and people like that, their runners are definitely worth considering.
Okay, something to keep an eye on as we go through the cards. We'll start with the 115, which is a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. Some interesting contenders here, Andy, some pretty smart ones as well. Steamboat Bill, well supported at the head of affairs this morning. Billy hasn't done a great deal wrong to date. A little bit on the drift this morning, but I wouldn't think that's anything to worry about. But respected connections for King's Line, Call Vinny, Stowaway Shark as well. Could be that this turns out to be quite a nice little race.
Yeah, my premier's summary. I actually forgot to left off Gordon Elliott, of course, who trains up in the north. He's got the best record of all the trainers here at Down Royal, one of his local tracks. And Steamboat Bill definitely catches the eye here, and he's certainly done that on his last two runs, most notably here at Down Royal on Boxing Day, when he started very strongly from the back of the field over 2 miles to be never near a third at the finish. You certainly mark him up as a horse to keep an eye on when he's up to trip, and once again that was the case the last time at Nice, when he again caught the eye doing his best late work in the latter stages behind Ed Wolf. But that was a rather tactical, messy, slowly run affair. And that necessarily wouldn't have played into his strength, albeit he did run quite well. But I do think this 2.5 miles around this stiff galloping track, of course, that he's proven himself over before, will definitely stand him in good stead. It's not a particularly deep race. Corvin, he's got the headgear on for the first time. He's respected. And, of course, Billy comes from the Stuart Crawford stable. And I think she's definitely got a chance, having run quite well the other day at Fairy House. But I do think this Steamboat Bill is quite a nice prospect in the making. And with Jack Kennedy on board, riding the crest of a wave, the combination make plenty of sense in the first race.
OK, Steamboat Bill, the pick in the 115. Next up is the 145. It's a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Some horses arriving here, Andy, that are pretty badly out of form, up at the top there, likes of Trucking Along and Ranjan, who on their day are very capable, but haven't had their day for quite a while now. They go without number 5 here, Say It Again, the only non-runner at the time of recording, which is around 9:30 on Wednesday morning. And Tokaroro heads affairs, a horse that I know that Andy was sweet on last time, brings some solid form to the table from some good races, but comes up against Cool or Not Glebe, who would have to have a chance here off the back of his win last time out. And there are some other types that could get involved at slightly bigger prices. What do you fancy in the 145, Andy?
I think, yeah, Tokaroro is definitely one to beat. She could be particularly well handicapped here off a mark of 116. I think connections might have even been contemplating going down the Alfred Winter route, and that might still well be the case if she wins today and picks up another penalty, which gets the same to the mid-120s, which is around about the mark you're looking at to get sneaking down the foot of the weights in an ordinary Fred Winter or an ordinary juvenile campaign. She stays really well. We know she goes on the ground. She come from quite a bit back to beat subsequent winner Swamp Fox quite readily in the end at Fairy House the other day. This track should really play to her strength. She's already run well here before behind Lake Champlain. That was on her very first start as a juvenile. So she really does set a good standard here. And at 7-4, I certainly couldn't put you off. I'd rather back her than I would at Cool or Not Grebe, who's a little bit of an in-and-out performer and probably not as trustworthy, perhaps, as the main market rival. But at the prices this morning, I'm much keener on After Aspen from an each-way perspective, mainly due to the fact that Liz Dawes Charge has already won around this course and distance on a softy surface. That course was last year when he managed to win a main hurdle. And there was definitely signs that this horse is coming back to form last time out at Punchestown in a very hot 2.5 mile handicap won by Oscar Sam, who is very much a horse on the improve from the Jessica Harrington stable. Of course, finished second in the Per Temps qualifier on Sunday behind that shock winner, Rath Patrick. Back in second was Pass the Hat. If my memory serves me right, that horse finished fourth to Ziga Boy over fences for Arthur Moore at Doncaster on Saturday. So you can see that After Aspen was up against a very high standard of opponent on that occasion and certainly did nothing wrong back in third, keeping on quite well late on for pressure. So the combination of track form, recent good solid form in a much better race than this leads me towards After Aspen each way at 5-1.
Okay, After Aspen, the each-way selection in the 145. The 215 is next up, Andy, and it is a novice handicap hurdle over the extended two-mile trip. We've only got four runners to go to post here. The market has it between two in Dragon Khan and Angus Milan. They do bring the most solid form to the table. It would be dangerous to discount the other two, Andy, but do you make it a two-horse race?
Yeah, I probably would. Well, for my purposes, I'll make it a one-horse race. I'm really keen here on Angus Milan, who's been chalked up second favourite this morning. It wouldn't surprise me if they flip-flopped in the betting, largely due to the fact that a lot of locals would recognise that Noel Kelly's Charge has got more solid credentials, and obviously he's got a course and distance win under his belt. Of course, that came on Boxing Day under similar conditions to this afternoon. And the trip was over 2 miles, which I think this is the key to this horse. He won quite cosily that day. Chris Timmins took him to the front quite comfortably, coming up the top of the hill, and basically he never really looked in danger thereafter. They upped him in trip the next day, and he didn't run too badly behind the very well-handicapped Edvardo, who, although failed under a penalty the day at Thurles, I thought still ran quite well, considering it was a different track and a different set of circumstances for him. So all in all, I do think Angus Milan's got a really good profile coming into this race. Dragon Khan, I know he won quite well the other day, but he's a little bit of an unpredictable customer, and that was the first time he got his head in front for a while at Thurles. It's just whether this kind of race, i.e. a small tactical field, is going to be suitable for him, because he normally takes a bit of a grip, and I think he's better in a bit of a crowd scene when they go good gallop and the jockey can almost like kid him to the front rather than sort of see too many wide open spaces. But I think that's going to be the case this afternoon. So I do really like this Angus Milan. 6-4 with William Hill this morning. I think that's going to be probably a little bit shorter on the off.
Okay, Angus Milan the pick in the 215. The 250 is next up. It is a handicap chase over 3 miles. Some fairly nice types in this, Andy. You've got Alti Picks up at the top of the weights, who would have a chance. You've got the consistent types, likes of Hurricane Ivan. Waltz Legend is no back number either. Plincini and Kilford as well would have to be respected. But what do you fancy in an open-looking 250?
Yeah, it is, Alex, yes. Plenty can be considered here. Obviously, Alti Picks is going to be a fairly obvious favourite on plenty of grounds. Most notably, a victory, of course, last time at Ferry House, which is a bit of a groundbreaking day for this fragrance mixed gelding. First win, of course, over fences, and he did the job quite nicely after putting in a good round of fencing. He's already got form here as well at the track, which is obviously very positive. But he has got a bit of weight here, 11 stone 12, and it won't be easy up against some hard-knocking chasers who've been round the block a little bit. And one a little bit further down the weights that I think could run well here is Kilford, also you mentioned in your summary. He was 70 the day at Leopardstown, but I don't really think he goes well that well left-handed. And that's what he's done on his last three starts. He's certainly run well, but still hasn't hit the frame yet. It's going in an anti-clockwise direction. But that fourth behind Nick Nome exit, subsequent winners Sunset to Rise and Boa Call, certainly would give him a chance here. And now he goes back right-handed, because he does tend to edge right towards the right when he jumps fences going the other way around. Then I think we're going to see a much better display for this fella today. He does stay well, and the ground's not a problem for him. And the other one to mention as well is Topper Thornton. His form figures recently have just been a little bit disappointing. He was pulled up the last day down in Thurles. But he comes back to the scene of some of his best career efforts. And in keeping with quite a few trainers, their horses seem to run well at this track and not too where else, i.e. the travelling aspects have got to be a bit of an advantage. This horse if he can run to the level that someone beat Noble Endeavour back here in October, then he'd have a little bit of a squeak here. I know Noble Endeavour should have won, but he made a bad mistake at last, but it's still a decent effort all the same from Colin Bratney's charge. So a couple against the field there at decent prices. We can get around about 7 or 8 to 1 for Kilford, and we get 14 to 1 for Top of Thornton.
OK, some big prices there in that one. That's the 250 done and dusted. We'll move next to the... It's the 325. Up next, it's a beginner's chase over 2.5 miles, and there are, again, some pretty nice types heading to post for this one, Andy. Some likely types, anyway. Some Drama is a non-runner. That one does not run. Leaves us with 6. But still pretty hard to distinguish between the first 3 in the market here, Andy.
Yes, it is. I must admit, I'm losing a little bit of faith with Venetian De Mai. I have been a fan of his over the last couple of seasons. And rather reluctantly, I'm going to leave him alone today with a bit of a heavy heart because he's costing me too much money, basically. I tipped him and napped him back in November when he fell at the last at 30, but he was definitely beaten that day. And albeit he ran quite well behind 2 nice sorts here the last day at Noble Endeavour and Marlbrook. Noble Endeavour, of course, second to Kilter Vic in last year's Martin Pipe. And I do think Marlbrook will be a reasonable handicap chaser for this season over staying distances. I'm still not totally convinced by Jim Draper's charge as of yet over fences, so therefore I'm going to pass him over in the favour of Matt Gunnery in particular, who of course chased home Tell Us More the other day down in Garran, and that form's definitely worth us more than a second look. I think Tell Us More might be heading towards one of the races at the festival, or if he doesn't go to Cheltenham, he might be safe for Fairy House or Punchestown because he's lightly raced and he's always been marked up as a future chaser in the making. But to only finish 6 lengths behind him and certainly being knocked about on only his second start of offences, I think Pat Fowey's charge is easily the one most likely to trouble the favourite here if he doesn't turn up. And the other one to mention is Peter for Parish as well. I definitely have a little bit of a small saver on him at 8-1. I thought he ran a blinder the other day down in Punchestown behind 3 very smart types. Measure of My Dreams, he's definitely one worth looking at if William Unlim brings him over for the novices handicap at the festival. And he was only a couple of lengths behind subsequent winner Arctic Skipper. So if he can run to the level of that form, and I presume he'll make the run in here, because when he made all to win his maiden hurdle a couple of years ago, he did it from the front. So I think Peter from Parvis can make the run in here and certainly get everything at it if he gets into a good rhythm. And 9-1, him along with Mount Gunnery at a little bit shorter odds are my two choices against the field there.
OK. 2 against the field in the 3:25. The 4 o'clock is up next. It's a 2-mile handicap chase. And we've got 7 runners going to post for this one, Andy. Not the easiest race to call this. Not much winning form brought to the table whatsoever. It's hard to know which horse you can depend on here.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement, Alex. I am going to take, however, a little bit of a flyer here on one, just because I've got a little bit of devilment in me today for horses at bigger odds. And... you know, you're going to need a little bit of a crystal ball to try and find this one, but it wouldn't surprise me if Mark Me Up was to outrun its odds here. I've seen the horse quoted around about 16-20-1 this morning, and I know there's only 7 runners, which is a little bit of a disaster, really, for each-way bettors, but I still think he'll outrun his odds because his 2 career victories of late here have come here over fences. And if you go back to this race 2 years ago, of course, he landed this Martinstown opportunity in the hands of Andrew Ring, same pilot today. So even though he's been out of form, largely, I mean, you look at his form figures, he hasn't really done a great deal of late. It has to be said it was similar comments applied to him before he shipped up here, as I said, a couple of years ago and won. I think he finished 6th and I think he finished 14th or 15th the time before going into that race here before. So, like I say, it's a little bit of a shot in the dark, but he seems to have slipped under the radar just because generally his form has been a little bit not inspiring. But we've just got to hope that he bounces back to form at his favourite track. 2 for 2 here, don't forget, here at this course. So 20-1 for Mark Me Up. A little bit of a pot shot here in the 4 o'clock.
OK, huge price. Mark Me Up, the outsider of the field in the 4 o'clock. The final race we're going to look at is the 4:35, and it's a bumper over the extended 2-mile trip. We've only got one horse that brings any form to the table. That's Satin Spa for John Joseph Hanlon. Finn Maguire takes the ride on that one, Andy. Drifting this morning, but does represent the connections that won this race last year, so would have to be respected. But at the head of affairs, we've got three horses for trainers that do tend to do well in bumpers. She's a Start for Noel Mead, Sanibel Island for Gordon Elliott, and Muller Magic for the Crawford team. It is one of those races, though, where it's hard to be bullish about anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's a race I'm clearly not going to have a bet in. Unless you know the inside track here or you follow the money, you're not likely to be parting with too much cash here. The money this morning seems to be for Noel Meachcharge. She's a star, of course, Noel, synonymous with races of this nature. Of course, Nina Carberry has been booked as well, which has obviously got to be seen as a positive, albeit she tends to ride most of his anyway. Three wins in these kind of races at this track for Noel Mead in the last 4 or 5 years, so that's another positive. Hold on, first time, that's a little bit of a head-scratcher in many respects. You don't often see that, but it's definitely worthy of respect. As you mentioned, the one before, only Satin Spa, representing the same connections as last year. That wasn't a bad run behind a nice horse called Zahir down in Nice the other day, albeit it was a little bit of a slowly run, tactical, messy affair. He'd probably have to do a bit better if one or two of these are above average, and the chances are that will be the case. Sanibel Island, of course, Muller Magic, as you mentioned, from relatively powerful connections, have also got to be marked up as ones likely to take this final event. So do keep an eye on the market. The market is suggesting that She's a Star is the one to be on, just from a very, very early perspective. So let's go with the cash in the final race.
Okay, follow the money, and the money may well follow you in the last. Great stuff, Andy. Great talking to you once again. Enjoy all of the action in Down Royal on Wednesday, and we'll speak to you soon.
Will do. Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.